You did it really well.
On a Monday.
Oh boy.
Welcome to the Bicons podcast.
Euphoria season 2 roundup.
Ew.
This is about to be 5 hours long. We got lots to say.
Ew. And I haven't asked you, like, straight up for your opinion, at, like, what you thought of it. And you haven't asked for mine.
Yes.
So this is our first time actually exchanging ideas.
Yes. We have been watching it week to week when it comes out. 10 p.m. sharp or whatever time it comes out. I'm not at a loss for words because I have a lot to say. I'm at a loss for feelings.
Oh my
I don't know
God.
What to feel.
I'm numb. Pain.
What was your overall feeling after the finale?
No, you first. I already know, but you first.
I think overall, I was mostly satisfied. I think I was mostly satisfied. I think it was a really sweet ending for the, you know, except for that one thing. It was very, as far as Rue's character goes anyway, I really liked her ending, and I really liked that it kind of left on a hopeful note, which is like the complete opposite of how it ended last season. But on the other hand, I am sort of disappointed that stuff from even season 1 hasn't been resolved, and like we went through all of this and there's still just like so many like open-ended things that they didn't even bother addressing, let alone tying up.
What are some of the things you wish were tied up or addressed specifically?
The two main things for me were Kat. She was completely absent from the season. The cam girl thing just completely disappeared. There was a whole cliffhanger from the first season about the like dude behind the black screen, like the scary dude. And that storyline completely disappeared. We got nothing from it. And that's, you know, all because of behind the scenes drama, which I guess we can talk about later because there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff tied into like the plot. And then the second thing was like McKay. His character, kind of like Kat, was almost completely written out of the plot. He was only in the first two episodes. And I think it's really shitty of, I want to say writers, but it's only one. Because God forbid. I think it's really shitty writing to like have something that like big and traumatic happen to somebody who is supposed to be a main character. And then it's literally never addressed again. And you write the character off. So there's, I think a lot of the feelings that I have about season 2 are because of stuff that happened in season 1 that never got resolved, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. What about you?
I agree with that. I think people are right to feel angry about the loose ends with Kat and McKay. We all know why Kat got kind of like less screen time. Because she like walked out on set a couple times.
Yeah.
From creative differences and everything. And that kind of thing happens, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, I'm hoping this isn't gonna be like, this was a season finale, not like a series finale. Right. So I really think we're gonna get some more of Kat's story.
Yeah.
I don't know about McKay, I'm not like as sure. Same. But I still wanna believe that like I still want to believe that we're going to hear more about McKay.
Yeah.
And, like, how he's doing. I want to believe. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure, but I'm more sure about Kat.
Yeah.
One of the loose ends that I did like, being left open was the situation with Lori that people are speculating.
Yes.
The situation with Maddie and
Cassie.
No.
Oh, Samantha, the babysitter.
Samantha,
lady.
Yes, mm-hmm. The woman. She babysits the kids for. And Fez. And like whether or not he's okay, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't really see McKay as a main character at all. So for him, I don't know. For his story to really get brushed to the side, it's weird and it doesn't feel right considering like how he was left, treated.
Basically, yeah.
But I get why he didn't. I don't know. I guess I really hope it doesn't go unaddressed. That's my biggest feeling. I really hope it doesn't go completely unaddressed. Yeah. If they push it off, sure. But like, how long?
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me a ton.
No. I think Kat's story is definitely what bothered me the most. I don't think they ever really took care with McKay's character that much. But I think Kat's character was like really fleshed out in the first season. And it felt like very... It just felt wrong that she wasn't included in the second season as her own character. Like, because she was a main character in the first season. Like, she's one of the core five girls, you know, in the show. And, well, six girls. And it just felt wrong. And, like, when she was on screen, she was a bitch. Like,
she's, like, a little narcissistic and, like, kind of unlikable.
Yeah.
I wanted to turn around. I really like that scene in the bedroom where, like, a bunch of people were, in her imagination, were confronting her. Also, in case it wasn't clarified before, if you were trying to avoid spoilers because you haven't caught up yet, this is the wrong place. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, we're, like, 10 minutes in. Yeah, leave. Oh, my God, leave.
We haven't spoiled anything huge necessarily, but we are going to. So, I would say, as far as stuff that I did like, I think the first episode of the season started out pretty strong with the party scene. It was very, like, you could tell, like, artistically, it was a lot different than the first season, and they'd, like, let you know that right off the bat in the first episode. And as far as the characters go, Fez and Lexi were, like, a ship that I didn't know I needed. It was so surprising and so sweet and so cute, and, like, I was so, like, surprised that that got introduced, and I really loved it. And I also, you know, after that entire episode of Fez being, like, really nice and cute and sweet with Lexi and, like, talking the most I've ever seen this man talk, and then he goes and beats the living shit out of Nate. It was the best. It's, like, been so long since then, I almost forgot how good that felt.
Mm-hmm. But, I loved it.
But yeah, that was a good, strong start to the season, I think.
Oh, that was good. And, like, Lexi is so invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really opened up. She really brightened up when somebody started really asking her questions about herself. Yeah. And the chemistry was so instant between them on New Year's.
Yeah. I can't believe Angus Cloud just got, like, picked up off the street. And now he's, like...
can tell he's like not a good he's not a great actor.
He's definitely not like on par with like the rest of his castmates, and like nobody's on par with Zendaya, but when it matters he's like good.
But he's good,
and I really like that.
I just said he's not good. He's good, he's just not, you know,
it's not amazing, he's not a strong,
but he's really good actor,
but yeah,
he's pretty good. I think the only scene where I thought his acting was especially good, or the two, was when he was talking to Cal in the chair, and the other time when he was in the finale.
Yeah, that was hard.
Sydney Sweeney's a good actress.
I remember going into the season and being and like seeing all the previews and stuff and being like, yes, I feel like Cassie's finally gonna get her moment, and like Cassie's gonna be so good and Sydney Sweeney's gonna be so good, and then they made me hate her so much. It made me hate her so much.
She should do horror.
Yeah.
Crazy bitch.
Somebody mentioned she should be in one of the Scream, like the Scream reboots or something, as like one of the final girls or something.
That would be good. Cool.
What happened with Cassie? Tell us what Cassie did in the very first episode.
She. It's like she felt guilty at first for what she did. And she would call Nate again and again and be like, we can't do this, can't cheat on my best friend. And then that sort of just, like, turned off one day.
Yeah.
And, like, it seemed like she just got really good at squashing that feeling of shame.
Yeah.
And she just didn't feel shame anymore.
it's like
the feeling of being with him was better.
Yeah, I feel like after the birthday episode, that's when like the switch was like officially made of like when after the hot tub scene. I think it was like episode 4. I think that's when the switch was like finally made, because like in the beginning of that episode she like stood up to Nate, and then like immediately 30 seconds later she's literally crying, screaming, throwing up in a hot tub.
Literally.
Over Nate
and Maddie. Literally.
It was just like crying, a really pathetic sight.
Oh my gosh. I have a feeling Maddie knew.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling Rue knows about Jules and Elliot.
Yeah.
Or knew, sorry, knew.
Yeah.
But anyways, people are so divided on Cassie. Some people say they pity her and they feel bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, she was obviously kind of compelled to do these things and mm-hmm. stop feeling shame. And then some people say that she's a piece of shit because she can do better.
Yeah.
And, like, both are true.
I was about to say, I feel like it's one of those instances where, like, both kind of have to be true, because she wouldn't just do that for no reason.
Yes, but when people try and explain that, like, well, she's this way because of her past blah, blah, blah. And her dad,
yeah,
people don't want to hear it, I think. They don't want to hear it because ultimately she's caused so much pain. But mm-hmm. I think an explanation is... an excuse is always an explanation, but an explanation is not always an excuse.
Ah, yes. That's good.
An explanation is not always an excuse. Just because all the pain that she's causing and, like, how she's fucking up everybody's life is really bad and she could have chose against it doesn't mean her past is irrelevant.
Right.
And just because she was fucked up in her past doesn't mean XYZ. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't just miss the point completely.
Because I think, like, in the beginning, like, at least in the first couple episodes, I did kind of feel bad for Cassie. Because, like, we've all known a Cassie.
And, I still feel bad for Cassie.
Yeah. And I feel like the thing that irritated me about the discourse around Cassie is how, like, they were trying to... It didn't irritate me, but it, like, surprised me how, like, people were comparing it to, like, oh, her addiction to male validation is, like, equivalent to Rue's actual addiction. And, like, Rue saying that Cassie has as much of an excuse, quote-unquote, for her behavior just as much as Rue does. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's the case.
She said something the audience was thinking when she said that.
Yeah.
Because it's our job to compare their stories.
Yeah.
So when she said it, it was really interesting to hear.
It was, I don't know. I feel
not
like
harder than Lexi's life or my life.
Maybe not Lexi, but like she felt like so bad for herself, and like she wasn't willing to like accept these bad feelings like about herself. She wasn't willing to accept the way that people were seeing her. Like she literally could not deal with people seeing her badly. That she like resorted to just straight up ignorance, mm-hmm. and like. And, like, oppression Olympics and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she lashed out on everyone. And then we see, like, her literally telling Nate that I ruined my whole life for you. And she did. And I think it just, I think that's what kept bringing me back down to earth with Cassie about, like, how mad I was at her. Mm-hmm. Is that we were just seeing the very beginning of their relationship. And we know where the end of the relationship goes, and that's how we treated Maddie. So it's like we're just seeing the very beginning stages of like this abusive relationship, and I think that's what like kept, you know,
that's what Maddie said to her at the end.
I liked that when she said, oh, this is just the beginning.
I think Cassie took that as like Maddie treating her like shit, this is just the beginning of that, like that's probably included.
Yeah,
but Maddie meant something totally different.
Yeah, I definitely think she was talking about Nate.
You know what, Cassie can kick rocks. Kick rocks with no shoes on.
Cassie with therapy and every other member of this cast.
Soak her head in a bucket of water. That's what she can go do.
I don't know.
Trip off the curb.
I feel like Cassie almost became like the main character of this season. And I feel like in the first half of the season, it was really lacking Rue. And I know that's probably because her addiction was like worse than ever and she wasn't really present and stuff like that. But I feel like Euphoria is at its strongest when it's like about Rue and like the other characters are sort of like, you know, intertwined in her story. And it just felt like in the first like 4 episodes that Rue wasn't even there. And that she was just like this person in the background. It felt like the Nate show or like the Casey. Why do I keep saying Casey? The Cassie show.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finally started focusing on like Rue again in episode 5, that's when like I felt like the heart had like come back to the show that I was like missing from season 1.
Yeah. You know what's fucked up?
Tell me.
And didn't get the same amount of hate. Jules cheating on Rue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I know your girlfriend's absent. I know she's absent. She's drunk. I mean, she's high off drug. She's high off her ass. She's absent. Okay. She faked an orgasm. Okay. Sus. So, the first boy who comes around and shows you attention, you cheat. You cheat. And when she's in the same room. She's in the bathroom. And y'all are kissing, smooching. And then she comes out of the bathroom and is like, oh,
and then you try to, like, egg her on into a threesome.
You're disgusting.
That's fucking weird, bro.
I'm pissed off because yeah. I really, really love Jules.
Yeah. What do you think about how they treated Jules's character after we saw, like, everything she said in the special episode, in the Jules special episode?
Like, how they treated her character?
Like, do you think... I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I think that they kind of wasted a lot of what she said in the special episode and sort of just, like, you know, threw it out the window when it came to writing her for the new season for the most part. But I don't see a lot of people talking about it, so I guess I was just wondering, like, what you thought about Jules as a whole this season.
I'm okay with her not being the center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with her not getting as much, because the story is told... As the story is told by Rue, Rue straight up told us she didn't want to talk about Jules.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, don't talk about Jules.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. I'm okay with that.
And I like that, again, it's hard to stay in order, but I like that in the last episode, Rue, we see this distance, like, we physically see this distance that they've been having over, like, the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, like, Rue chose herself over Jules for the first time was, like, so heartwarming. And, like, it made, like, same as you, it made me, like, kind of grateful that Jules wasn't the center. Or wasn't, like, as much of the center. Because at the end of the day, the story is about Rue. And she, like, they're clearly not good for each other right now.
I want to know why that Dominic Fike song was 4 minutes and 27 seconds long.
For fuck's sake.
Why did we have to sit through the whole song? The worst part was that at the very end of the song, the entire song, bridge, chorus, first, second verse, all of it, after he, like, sharp strums the guitar, like, yeah, still working on it.
But it's a full song. It's a full song.
He's definitely a high schooler. I was like, what?
Fuck. Why what? Is that such, I feel like
yeah, I'm still working on it.
I feel like every girl has had this experience where they've just been forced to, like, grin and bear it while a dude, like, is singing with an acoustic guitar.
Has that happened to you?
Yes. It's fucking torturous.
A guy tried to sing to you with a guitar?
It was, like, in college or some shit, like, in the dorm. It was just ridiculous. It was just a ridiculous thing. And I feel like so many people, like, stop putting women through this.
Cute song, but... Like, it's cringy when it's, like, 4 fucking minutes long. Like, can you stop? Like, 30 seconds is already a lot.
And if you're gonna make it the 4 minutes, maybe have the song playing over, like, a different scene. There was so much. We were praying and hoping that we would get to see Maddie beating the shit out of Cassie. And we didn't get it, but we got 4 minutes of Elliot singing.
Oh, that's so true. I would have... taken 4 minutes of seeing Cassie get her ass beat.
It seems like such a waste that you have this entire season, like, set up as Cassie betraying Maddie with Nate and like the dissolution of their friendship and the weird relationship with Nate. And in the actual finale of the show, we barely see them like talk. We get like two whole minutes of like screen time of them talking.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I don't think this is the end of them talking about it or. Yeah. No. I think it's okay.
I want them to pull a John Tucker Must Die and like.
Yes. Kill him. Kill his ass.
Can we talk about.
I'm so sick of him.
How Lexi Howard was the one, capital T, capital O, the one to finally bring down Nate. Had him shaking in his seat.
I could replay that scene on a 10-hour loop. I might get a Nobel Peace Prize if I did that and put it on YouTube. Oh my god. The way he got all shifty-eyed and like nervous. He was like, so homophobic. He stormed out of there.
How dare
like,
you?
Yeah, you sure fucking care if it's homophobic or not, piece of shit asshole. I'm sure you care about. You don't even know what. I don't know if
Nate has ever been like overtly homophobic, but I found him targeting Jules to be very transphobic. And didn't he say like the F slur like in the very first episode of Euphoria?
He called his dad the F slur. I remember that. Maybe he said it more. I wouldn't put it past him. I don't remember.
And then all of a sudden he's an ally.
I'm sick. He reminds me of so many boys who went to my high school who were like super jocks and like were threw the F word around like it was nothing. Bro, why are you so gay? They would say fruity. That's what the guys would say. They would always be like, bro, that's fruity. Or like to call a guy gay, like if they were speculating that he was gay, they would say, oh, he's sweet. Things like that.
Yeah, that's so old school. What the fuck?
But fruity was the number one thing that they'd say, and it was like he reminds me of those same guys who ended up like being closeted bi or something.
Yeah.
Like you're mad. You're just mad at yourself.
He reminds me of that meme that's like men say they're fighting demons and the demon is bisexuality.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yep. Ding ding ding.
That's the one.
That's definitely the one.
Oh my god.
Nate Jacobs can also kick rocks with no shoes or socks on. And I'll say it again. I hope he gets pissed on by a rat in New York City. I hope he has an ice cream sundae and it drops to the ground before he exits the store. I hate him.
His whole like storyline with his dad is very sad and traumatic, and I know that it can like impact you from a young age, and I get it, but
we don't get it.
What possesses you to hold a gun and play Russian roulette to your ex-girlfriend?
No. Beating a boy into a pulp.
The violence. The violence.
Choking out your girl. No. See, no.
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 You deserve everything bad.
Right.
Everything. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
He deserves like the electric chair. I don't care. I don't know.
Now that he's not with Cassie or Maddie, he might and Jules is also single. There's a chance that they're set up to like be involved or something. I don't know.
I really hope not. I really hope Jules doesn't do that to herself.
She like might fix him. Like she might fix him. That's, oh my god! He might love her.
That's like what's bothering me about Jules, and like how they wrote Jules is that her special episode was like it was partially written or like all written by Hunter Schafer, and it like talked like about her possibly wanting to stop hormones and not really being interested in men anymore and. Like all of, and I get she's like a kid and she's still figuring it out. And like, I understand the exploration, but I think they made like a dude the center of her entire story. Like right after she said she wasn't like gonna be involved with dudes anymore. And then Elliot ended up being the center of the Jewel story. And she never talked about, like, anything, like, ever again that she brought up in the special episode. And it's like, at the first half of the season, I was, like, screaming at these people who were, like, you know, coming to all these conclusions, and, like, you could tell that they didn't watch the special episodes, and, like, they had, like, a really bad, like, grasp, like, on these characters. But then the writers themselves kind of abandoned a lot of Jules' special episode, I think. Her mom never got brought up again. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted about it, I think.
I don't know. I like Nate's mom. I like Samantha. I like Maddie. I like Rue the most. I still really like Jules.
Yeah. I do still really like Jules. Like, I see what Jules did as just, like, a stupid juvenile thing. Like, to me, that's, like, on such a different level.
Cheating?
Yes. As, like, a 17-year-old. It's, like, to me, it's a different context than, like, a grown adult cheating. Because they're just, like, kids and they're idiots. And I think compared to, like, what Cassie has done and, like, what Nate has done, like, Jules is much more of, like, still a likable character compared to them. Even though I really, really, really hate what she did, I still really like her. I have more, I guess, like, sympathy for Jules.
Maybe in the way that, like, it felt so good to Cassie when she had a boy liking her.
Yeah.
It was, like, that kind of feeling for Jules, too.
I was so confused as to, like, why Cassie was, like, I feel like her, like, in the subtext of it all, I feel like her abortion probably has something to do with this. But it was, like, so, like, iffy to me that in the first episode, like, McKay was, like, still showing interest in her, and, like, he wanted to talk and, like, stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, McKay wasn't a great boyfriend or anything, but, like, he was still, like, a dude expressing interest in her. And she, like, was like, oh, I don't think I should be anyone's girlfriend. And then in the next episode, I'm in love with Nate Jacobs, and we're together.
I think she only said that because she had been fucking Nate by that point. So she was already, like, was really about Nate.
Night. Like, that, the speed with which she, like, fixates on someone.
Right.
Fascinating.
I think she's, like, Cassie's, like, the friend who is super jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has that friend. Not everybody will get to experience that friend. But, like, sometimes you have a friend who is, like, secretly super in your corner and, like, super about you and, like, nice to you and, like, really will get really close to you, but on the low and probably not outwardly to anybody, they're, like, really jealous of you. Mm-hmm. Not you, but maybe what you have.
Yeah.
Maybe not you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what you have.
Yeah.
So I think maybe Cassie was, like, one of those friends who, like, was secretly really jealous of Maddie's style.
Yeah.
The way she could confidently attract men. Her confidence, mm-hmm, as a whole is probably something she, yeah, was really attracted to. Because now she struts down the hallway just like Maddie, wearing Maddie's,
yeah,
style. Like, with that same, like, fake confidence, though.
And I feel like,
not same, but
on the outside, like, Maddie and Nate's relationship seemed, like, really passionate. And, like, when, like, I feel like when you're younger, like, you think, and Maddie's, like, said it, like, she thinks that's what love looks like, is, like, really, like, heated, like, passionate, you know, so-called, like, arguing is normal. And I feel like Cassie saw, like, their relationship as a much more, like, deep loving connection, and, like, she was also jealous of that. Like,
on top, we don't fight herself. Because I literally don't speak up for myself ever.
Yeah.
And you can control what I eat, yeah, and wear everything. So, of course, you're never gonna fight.
No.
Over what?
Right.
You want him to own you like a doll. So what are you going to fight about?
She, like, I feel like in the beginning of the relationship, she was trying really hard to be Maddie on the inside. On, like, her, like, inside, like, she was, like, the cognitive, like, dissonance when she was, like, arguing with Nate that one time. And she was, like, you know what's fucked up, Nate, is that you tell me you love me and then go and be in a relationship with my best friend. As if that wasn't, like, exactly what she was doing it. And she said it with her full chest.
Yeah.
Like, it was valid. And even Nate, like, was right to, like, be like, what the fuck are you even talking? Like, listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And she tried to be like, oh, well, I'm crazier than Maddie. And I feel like eventually Nate ended up, like beating her down so much that she was only, like, looking like Maddie on the outside. And on the inside, she was becoming, like, more timid and smaller.
Yeah.
To appease Nate. It's just icky.
But my favorite moment of all was when Rue said she wanted to remember Jules as a first love.
Yeah.
And, like, kissed her goodbye and was walking out of the school halls. That was my favorite part of the last episode. That and Angus's acting.
Yeah. They definitely, like, hinted to a time skip, I think. Because they said, like, Rue said, you know, I stayed clean to the end of the school year. So I feel like we're going to either get a time skip and it's going to be, like, during summer. Or they're just going to, like, straight up skip to the next school year and maybe do flashbacks to the summer or something.
Because, yeah, I don't know.
I don't see Lori as, you know, a human trafficker / drug dealer. I don't see her as someone who's going to wait till the end of the school year to deal with Rue.
There's a chance. I mean, we don't know if her debt's paid off or not.
I was thinking about that today. If she, like, because we still don't know how long Rue was actually.
It's just everything that everybody's saying about that is literally just speculation.
Yeah, we have no idea.
But I think that her debt's paid off. That's my speculation.
Yeah. But I kind of, if that is the case, I kind of hate that they did that off screen. Not the like actual debt paying part. Nobody wants to see that. But I mean, I would hate for them to, like, set up this really, like, intriguing, scary situation and, like, the whole thing that led Rue to hitting rock bottom. I would hate for them to do all that and then the resolution to it is off screen. That seems, like, really lazy to me. So I'm hoping that there's still something to be said and, like, done about that storyline in the next season.
We probably will see Lori again.
Yeah.
When Jules, like, sat down next to Rue and was like, I really miss you and I really love you. Just, like, saying that. It sounded so, compared to everything we saw Rue go through, and how she was carrying herself these last couple episodes. It was so childish hearing Jules say that. And I was almost, like, cringing.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Because it reminded me of, like, the intervention episode. And, like, Rue was, like, going through withdrawal. And she was kind of, like, going off and saying, like, all of this stuff that Jules did to, like, hurt her. And she kept just kind of saying the same thing. Like, I love you and I miss you and, like, I want to get you help. And, like, she just kept kind of, like, repeating the same thing over again. And I feel like as far as, like, including Elliot, like, in that whole situation, obviously, I wonder if she's going to forgive Jules for the intervention as in the same way that she forgave Elliot for it. Because she, like, you know, went to Elliot and said, I think you accidentally saved my life. I wonder if she's thinking the same way about Jules, I guess.
Probably. I want to say yes. Even though it was Elliot who started, who was... Elliot, I think, was an angel in Rue's life. I know that he cheated with her girlfriend. But I strongly believe Elliot was an angel in her life. Because he both started the intervention and really pulled Jules away enough to have Rue completely feel like she had to deal with something on her own.
Yeah.
And it was wrong the way he did it, but I think it's like the course of events that he caused.
So like divine intervention almost.
Yeah. And in the last part we saw him, there was like a really bright light from the window shining on his back, and I really thought he was an angel. This was when she was saying, "I think you accidentally saved my life." Mm-hmm. There was a really bright light from the sun on the window, just on his back while he was sitting on the bed, and I definitely thought he was an angel.
He was also the only one that was like left in the church in that one episode.
Yeah,
like I think the episode before the intervention.
Yes,
he was the only other character that was like left alone there.
So, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was an angel in Drew's life.
I'm still a little, like, I like Elliot, and I do think that he has, like, done
I don't like good. Him, but...
Yeah, I, as, like, a character, and I think he's, like, I agree with everything you just said, that I think that, like, he was good for Rue in the end. But there's just, like, still something about him that, like, I don't trust, and I might just be being, like, paranoid about it, but... There's just some, like, little things, like, here and there that just make me a little suspicious of him. And I don't know if it's just, like, him being, like, you know, a shitty, just, like, a little fuckboy, or if it's, like, something more sinister. I'm hoping it's just him being a fuckboy at the end of the day. But overall, I like his introduction. Like, I think he was, like, a good addition to the cast. And everybody loves Dominic Fike, obviously.
I don't want him to stick around. I wish he wasn't going to be in the third season, but that's just my own selfish personal opinion.
He might not be as big of a character. Who knows? I think my favorite part, I feel like you can count the last two episodes as kind of like a two-part season finale because it takes place like during the span of Lexi's play.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely loved Lexi's play. I think it was perfect, and I think it was such a good way to bring Rue and Lexi back together, and I think by the end of the season, it sort of, like, cemented them as, like, best friends again, and, like, Lexi being the most important person in Rue's life, like, outside of her family, and it feels so much more healthier than it did with Jules, because they're not in love, you know, supposedly, and... I really loved that, like, Lexi got to come into her own, and we got to see, like, all of the stuff that, like, she holds in all of the time, and how she feels like there's nobody in her life that she can, like, talk to. Like, she's just the sponge in everyone else's life. And I really appreciated that she got to put on, like, such, in, like, spectacular fashion, she got to put, like, into the world, like, what's going on in her head and, like, what affects her. And, like, at the end of the day, it ended up being a story about her just wanting her best friend back. And I really, 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 really loved it. It was genius.
Yeah.
I really loved it. I love Lexi.
Me too. She's great. Lexi. She's, like, the only, like, normal person there.
Yeah.
I love her.
I'm curious how they're gonna, like, tackle her and Fez in the next season, because Mance is gonna be in jail.
Huh?
He's gonna be in jail.
I don't know. We don't know anything.
Yeah. I saw something today, so this is obviously the big spoiler, but in the finale, like, there's finally the showdown with, like, Fez and the cops because they found Mouse's body and Custer and Fit. And, like, the whole thing is coming to a head.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashtray ends up, you know, being killed by a cop. I saw something the other day where the child actor that plays Ash was, like, talking, like, doing an interview.
Yeah.
And he said that they changed it from Fez dying to Ash dying the day before shooting.
Oh my god.
So originally it was going to be Fez that was going to die in the finale, but they changed it to Ashtray.
Thank god.
Yeah.
No offense.
No, oh my god. No. Like, I don't get me wrong, like, I hate what happened to Ashtray, but I think, like, a couple things played into it, and I think one of the biggest things is that when Euphoria comes back, it's going to be like damn near 2 years, and Ash is going to look too old to be playing somebody the same age. They would have to recast him, and it would be weird.
Is it really going to be 2 years?
It was this time. It was 2 years between season one and season two. So probably. I mean, maybe not, because we're not dealing with, like, as strict COVID, like, shit now. Mm-hmm. So it might be faster.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true.
We shall see.
That's true.
Also, apparently, the guy that plays Ash is going to be on the Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm excited about that.
That'll be cool. He doesn't die after all.
What did you think about Nate's ending in this last episode with his dad?
Good for him. I don't know. Good for him for doing that. I thought that was an honorable way to do what should have been done a while ago.
Yeah.
He stopped trying to protect his dad a long time ago, but to call the cops on him, it must mean that you don't just hate him, but you want to be set free of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was honorable. He didn't make a big scene
like he normally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was pretty a nice surprise, because they had it like leading up to that point, like he got really mad after the play because of the fantastic Ethan scene.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic scene.
There he go.
But he, you know, he got mad after that, and he's drinking and driving again, and he's got the gun, and like every time we've seen these factors in the past, it's ended up with him doing something really violent.
Yes.
And this time it ended up like doing something that like we've all wanted to happen for a long time, I think.
Yeah, that's so true.
It was definitely a pleasant surprise, and it was like the one time I kind of like saw Nate as a human, and like, I mean, I always see him as a human, but you know what I mean. It was the first time that, like, I sort of, like, felt bad for him
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I feel like they tried to, like, make us like and feel bad for Cal. And I think it's kind of interesting that they did that, where they had the whole episode of, like, Cal's backstory, and were, like, trying to make you feel bad for him to show, like, him as an adult who's just like a really bad person. And he's like the only adult in the show that has gotten like his own episode and like a full background story, and I feel like he's like this warning, like, of like not
that's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead. I was just going to repeat myself. No, please.
I think it's interesting that you would say, like, them showing his backstory is them trying to make us feel bad for him, when I don't think that's what they were trying to do. Mm. I don't think they were trying to make us feel bad for him by showing us what he went through or what hurt him. Because, like, that was before he did the really bad shit that he had been doing. So, like, at that point, he was just somebody who was hurting, and like, it went unresolved. And you feel bad for him, but you don't feel bad for him later.
The present day. Yeah, you feel bad for, like,
I don't think that's what they were trying to do. I don't think they were trying to make you feel bad for him. Just because somebody's, like, giving you a reason as to why they are the way that they are is them providing context. It's not them guilt tripping you.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I didn't feel bad for him at all. But, like, there's a difference between, like, feeling bad for somebody and, like, listening to their story and being like, huh, that explains why that they did that.
Yeah.
That explains why. I guess that sucks. They're probably hurting.
And I feel like that, like, them doing that is, like, for me, what connects Cal's story to, like, the rest of them, to, like, the rest of the kids' stories, because I feel like it kind of reinforces that point that, that an explanation isn't an excuse. because we're seeing all of these, like, all of the kids making, like, these really bad decisions and, like, stuff like that. And, like, with Cal, we're seeing how these bad, like, what happens to you, like, after these bad decisions. And, like, what happens when you go into adulthood without addressing anything that's, like, hurting you. And I just see, I see him as sort of, I don't, warning's the only word I can think of. I mean something else, but that's the only thing I can think of as sort of like this example of like cautionary tale almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cautionary tale. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because it was sad, but like, I don't see the correlation between that and becoming a, you know.
Right.
P word.
Right.
I feel like a lot happened this season. A lot happened.
That's true. That was like a bad message to send, that like just because you had a lost love at a young age that you could grow up to be something really, really bad.
Especially,
that's not true.
Yeah, especially because it's like a really kind of like harmful connection to make, especially with him being a gay man, because it's like such a harmful like stereotype against like gay men and trans men, is like they're all pedophiles. Yeah. And they're all like sexual perverts.
Yeah.
And I understand where they're coming from in the same amount, I like don't like that connection. Or actually, I do have a question. I forgot. Ow, sorry. Do you think they're gonna do another round of special episodes in between the two seasons?
I didn't think of that. Maybe. That would be cool. That would be really cool.
And, like, not ruin Jules. Like, maybe Lexi and Cassie, or Maddie and Cassie, or, like, something. Maybe, like, another duo in the show. I would, like, eventually, I think it'd be cool for, like, all of the main cast to have their own special episode. Yeah. Eventually. That'd be really cool.
That's what I was hoping for the first time we got them too.
Yeah.
Maybe. That would be cool if we got, like, Rue and one other person.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like that.
Yeah.
Because then you could, like, compare them over time if Rue made another one.
I would hope it was them also going to therapy.
Yes.
I really want them to go to therapy.
Yeah. What do you think season 3 will look like?
I think we're going to get a time jump. I kind of touched on this earlier. I think we're going to get a time jump to either summertime or to the next school year with flashbacks to the summertime.
Aren't they all seniors?
I think Rue is only a junior. I think Maddie and Cassie and Kat are seniors, and I think Lexi, Jules, and Rue are juniors, and Nate's a senior. But I think Jules is just a. That's the other thing. If it's the end of the school year,
so they're gonna go their separate ways.
Maybe some of them are gonna be in college.
Oh my god!
I think the big. I'm hoping anyway that the big storylines in the next season are going to be the Rue Lori situation. I think there's going to be some big change for Fez. I think he might be getting out of the crime life, or might be trying to finally get out of the crime life, because now Ash is dead. His grandmother's probably not far behind. Like, he's had enough, I think. And then the last thing is, I think there's going to be something with Maddie and Samantha, who she babysits for. I think there's going to be some type of storyline there.
Yeah.
So, what about you?
I think a huge story would be, let me rephrase that. I'm expecting Fez to, pursue a calmer life. And, like, get the little house on the prairie thing he was talking about. And being with Lexi. I think that's gonna, like, be a thing. I think Maddie and Samantha are gonna have a thing. Or at least learn from each other. And maybe learn how to how to be friends with Cassie again or something.
Yeah. And maybe how to like love somebody who's not abusive, like being like thinking you deserve love.
Yes, that. I think Cassie might try and hurt herself or something.
Yeah.
Or something dramatic will happen with her. And I think Jules might end up with Nate or Elliot.
Yeah.
I think Rue might just get closer to Lexi, like as best friends.
I really want them to be like the central relationship. Like when it comes down to it, I like all those theories where they're like Rue is the narrator and Lexi's the writer. And like at the end of the show, it's going to be like Rue reading something that like Lexi wrote or something like that. It'd be cute for like the whole show to be like tied into their friendship.
Yeah, they make really good friends. Yeah. I can't wait to see more of that, honestly.
Yeah.
I think Jules will get jealous of Lexi.
Mm-hmm.
In a friend way, like in a close, getting close to Rue kind of way. Yeah. Like she never got to have that.
Yeah.
So.
She never got to have sober Rue.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah,
I'm hopeful. As far as behind the scenes stuff go, I want Sam Levinson to like have a writer's team. I think it would be really beneficial for like him not to be the sole proprietor of the entire show. I would like some other people to proofread him occasionally.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Put Hunter Schaefer in the writing room.
Literally.
Please, God. I will sell anything.
Your special episode was the best.
What would you give the Euphoria season 2 overall out of 10?
I think it's gonna have to be a 7 for me.
7 what?
Oh, sorry. It's gonna have to be 7 suitcases of drugs.
Out of 10.
Oh
my God. Word. I'm going to have to give it 8.5 school plays. Diabolical school plays out of 10.
Diabolical. It was diabolical. It was great. Lexi's play, 12 out of 10.
Priceless. Like that MasterCard commercial.
Perfect.
Priceless. Go catch up if you haven't, then come back here, because this was all spoilers. Leave.
I do know that I'm going to be watching some Killing Eve as soon as I can find a place to watch it.
Yes.
And then hopefully once that season's over, we'll be able to finally do an episode on Killing Eve.
Yes. I can't wait.
Something to look forward to.
We haven't watched it, right?
No, I thought it would be on Hulu, but it's not. So it might be on the like BBC channel. I might be able to download it. I gotta check.
That's crazy. Okay.
We'll see. Thank you for listening to the Vicons podcast. Music by DaVinci_Beats. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. It helps us a lot.
To keep up with new episodes, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok @Vicons Podcast and Twitter @Vicons Pod. See you next time.